Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Dorney's Vinyl. We are on episode number 29 of season 6. If you're new to this podcast, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you're returning to this podcast, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. If this is your first podcast, or if this is podcast number like 150 for you, I appreciate all of the support. But this is episode number 29. This is Dorney's Vinyl is a weekly podcast. So every odd numbered podcast, such as this one, is an album review. And every even numbered podcast is what I call an EP. Half of those EPs, extra podcasts, I call them, are games, guest starring my wife. So a couple weeks ago, we did a game of album cover password. And next week will be a game that I'll explain at the end of this podcast. And every other EP is just like a little tidbit of information, I say. Some of those tidbits are like book reviews, concert reviews. Last week's was, I do a segment called Hall of Shame, in which I take a band. Last week it was Foreigner, that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that is not yet. So, that's how this podcast runs. Since this is episode number 29, 29 is an odd number, this is an album review. This is the third wildcard album of the season. So essentially what I mean by that is, if you're following on Instagram, you know that I put a lot of polls up for albums. I want to know what albums my followers want to hear podcasts about. So I go through, they get to choose most of the albums, but then I choose the last three albums. So this is the third one. This album is going to be, I'm going to do Jackson Browne's The Pretender. So how my album podcasts work, I go through and I talk a little bit about the artist, a little bit about the album, the personnel on the album, and Jackson Browne's got a ton. And then information about the songs, the tracks. I take a short little break in the middle, and then I come back and do my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So I will get into it. So Jackson Browne, he was born on October 9th, 1948, in Heidelberg, Germany. His dad was an American serviceman who was stationed there for his job. Jackson then moved to Los Angeles, California in 1951. I believe he lived with his grandparents. And he has been an active performer since 1964, so since he was 16 years old. He has sold over 18 million records worldwide and has been nominated for 8 Grammy Awards. He ranked number 37 on Rolling Stone's 2015 list of the 100 Greatest Songwriters of All Time, and he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004. He has released 15 studio albums and 44 singles. Of his albums on the U.S. charts, 11 top 40, 4 top 10s, and 1 number 1. And on the U.K. albums chart, 7 top 40 albums. For his singles then, in the U.S., he's had 10 top 40 hits on the Hot 100, 2 top 10s. And on the U.K. singles chart, he just had 1 top 40 hit. So he is an American artist through and through. Moving on now into the album. So The Pretender. It is the fourth album released by Jackson Browne. So after releasing his third studio album, which it peaked at number 14 in the U.S., Browne began working with Warren Zevon. Browne was a mentor to Zevon as well as producer for his first two studio albums. In 1975, Browne went on a tour in support of his third album, along with his wife Phyllis Major and their one-year-old son Ethan. Browne performed shows with the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, and Toots and the Maytals. I've never heard of them before, but they have a very fun name. In March 1976, Phyllis died by suicide, unfortunately. There's not really any more details about that other than she died by suicide. The Pretender was released in November of 1976. It peaked at number 5 in the U.S. and number 26 in the U.K., Reviews of the album are, I will say, somewhat positive. Robert Christgau graded it a B, which, in my opinion, that's a really good grade for Robert Christgau because he's very critical. Graded it a B, although, I will say, though, his review is somewhat critical. And he wrote, quote, "But Langour is Browne's best mask, and what's underneath is not always so impressive. The shallowness of his kitschy doomsaying and sentimental sexism is well known, but I'm disappointed as well in his depth of craft," end quote. And William Ruhlman of AllMusic rated it 3.5 out of 5 stars, writing retrospectively, quote, "On The Pretender, Jackson Browne took a step back from the precipice so well defined on his first three albums, but doing so didn't seem to make him feel any better. Employing a real producer, John Landau, for the first time, Brown made what sounded like a real contemporary rock record, but this made his songs less effective, end quote. Other ratings of the album include 4 out of 5 by the Encyclopedia of Popular Music, and a 3.5 out of 5 by the Rolling Stone Album Guide. But the album certified 3x platinum in the US with 3 million copies sold. And now the personnel on the album, and bear with me because this list is extensive. Alright, so it starts with obviously Jackson Brown on vocals and then the acoustic guitar on tracks 1 and 2. Leland Sklar plays bass on tracks 1, 6, 7, and 8. Chuck Rainey plays bass on tracks 2 and 5. Russ Kunkel does drums on track 1. Jim Gordon plays drums on tracks 2 and 4. Jeff Porcaro plays drums on tracks 5, 6, 7, and 8. Craig Dorge plays the acoustic piano on tracks 1, 6, 7, and 8. Roy Bitton plays acoustic piano on track 2. Bill Payne plays the Hammond organ on track 2, the acoustic piano on tracks 4 and 5. David Lindley plays slide guitar on tracks 1 and 6, as well as violin on track 5. Lowell George plays slide guitar on track 2 and does harmony vocals on track 2. Arthur Gerst plays the harp, backing vocals, and musical arrangements on track 3. And Robert Gutierrez plays the guitar on, violin, and backing vocals on tracks 3. Louis Damian plays the acoustic guitar and backing vocals on track 3. Michael Utley plays Hammond organ on track 4. John Hall plays guitar solo on track 4. Fred Tackett plays the acoustic guitar on tracks 4, 5, 7, and 8, the electric guitar on tracks 4, 7, and 8, and then guitar left on track 6. Bob Glob, I don't know if that's actually his name, but that would be unfortunate. Bob Glob plays bass on track 4. Albert Lee plays the electric guitar on track 5. Gary Coleman, percussion on track 5. Waddy Wachtel plays guitar right on track 6. Jim Horn plays saxophone and horn arrangements on track 6. Quitman Dennis plays saxophone on track 6. Dick Hyde, trombone on track 6. Chuck Finley, trumpet on track 6. David Campbell, string arrangements on track 7 and 8. Rosemary Butler and Bonnie Raitt do harmony vocals on track 4. Don Henley and J.D. Souther do harmony vocals on track 5. And David Crosby and Graham Nash do harmony vocals on track 8. And the album was produced by John Landau. I know that's an extensive list of personnel. The reason that I go through it is I think everybody deserves credit for work that they have done, whether it be just that they played a saxophone on one of the tracks. Everyone deserves a credit, so that's why I go through the entire personnel. Moving into the track listing. So, all of the tracks on the album were written by Jackson Brown unless noted otherwise. Track 1 is The Fuse. So Brian Katchian of Classic Rock History ranked this Jackson Brown's 7th greatest song, calling it, quote, an often overlooked gem from the Jackson Brown catalog, end quote. Track 2 is Your Bright Baby Blues. So Lowell George plays slide guitar on the song. In an interview with Mojo, Brown said, quote, there's a line in that song, close your eyes and try a few of these. That's exactly the way we turned each other on and gave each other drugs, end quote. Track 3 is Linda Paloma. So Brown describes the song as, quote, California Mexican, end quote, saying that he was inspired to write the song when he heard the mariachi band at a Mexican restaurant he frequented with his girlfriend. So Brown later learned that one of the band members would blow kisses at his girlfriend without him knowing, so he wrote the song about a guy yearning for a girl who loves another man. And Linda Paloma means pretty dove. Track 4 is Here Comes Those Tears Again. This song was written by Brown and Nancy Farnsworth. It was released as the first single off the album, peaking at number 23 in the U.S. So Nancy Farnsworth is the mother of Brown's wife, Phyllis Major. While they were on vacation, Farnsworth asked Brown to look over an unfinished song she had written, and Jackson looked over the lyrics and incorporated them into this song. Billboard magazine's review of the song reads, quote, this archetypal, love-lost adult ballad boasts a memorable chorus melody and some of Brown's most effective singing on record, end quote. And Cashbox magazine's review says, quote, Brown's lyric explores frustration and love through some memorable turns of melody, end quote. and Katchian ranked this Brown's third best song. Track 5 is The Only Child. Track 6 is Daddy's Tune. Track 7 is Sleep's Dark and Silent Gate. So Brown said that the song was the only one that he wrote that was directly influenced by his wife's suicide. Track 8 is The Pretender. This was released as the second single off of the album, peaking at number 58 in the US. About the song, Brown said, quote, "For me, The Pretender is just the right blend of pessimism and endurance. I mean, for some reason, we go on living, you know. That's such a basic thing. For some reason, there's something in us that makes us keep going." And then he continues, "The fact is, you probably never even needed a reason to live," end quote. And Brown was also asked who the pretender was, to which he replied, quote, "It's not me exactly, although sometimes people applaud for me at that moment in the song as if I am. But in truth, there is a bit of the pretender in me, but it's anybody that's sort of lost sight of some of their dreams," end quote. Cashbox Magazine's review of the song says, says that it, quote, "has strong images and emotive musicianship of this single should further widen his audience," end quote. And Cashian ranked this Brown's best song, saying, quote, "It's hard to find words to describe the song's beauty and its impact on the singer-songwriter genre," end quote. That is the conclusion, then, of the informational half of today's podcast. I'm going to take a short little break and come back and give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. All right. So moving on now into the second half of this episode. And how this part of the podcast works is this is my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So essentially how I do this part is I listen to the album from start to finish. As the album is playing, I'm writing notes for each of the song. And then at the end of each side, I rank the songs on each side. And then at the end of the entire album, I rank all of these songs on the entire album. That's this first part, and then I'll explain the album score when I get to that. But so at number 8, I have Sleep's Dark and Silent Gate. So this song just, like, pretty much came to a halt after the first three lines. Brown's lyrics are very interesting because he's not necessarily telling a story. I'm a big fan of story songs. But he's not telling a story, but his lyrics are also so much more complex than just, like, a simple verse-chorus song that I feel like you get a lot from, you know, 70s, 80s rock. I almost was wondering, like, his songs are almost, like, Bernie-esque, like, Bernie Taupin-esque, Elton John's writer. They're very unique. This was a very surprisingly short song, in my opinion. But my favorite lyrics for this one, "Sometimes I lie awake at night and wonder where the years have gone. They have all passed under Sleep's Dark and Silent Gate." At number 7, I have Linda Paloma. This song had a very interesting instrument at the beginning of the song. I'm assuming that it was the guitar on, but it was very, very unexpected in my opinion. I feel like the song deserved like a little bit more pace though with that instrument. I definitely heard a voice crack on the vocals, therefore like this isn't his strongest song vocally, but it still at least had a good sound to it instrumentally. The guitar on player is absolutely incredible. Definitely one of my favorite instrumentals of the season. It was just so smooth. I appreciate that Brown does not follow like the verse-chorus template. Uniqueness, I feel like, is key to me, and he's definitely got unique songs. And I like their Spanish vocals at the end of this song as well. My favorite lyrics for this one were, "Dreaming on after that moment's gone, the light in your lover's eyes disappears with the light of the dawn." At number 6... I have The Only Child. This is another song that has very good lyrics, but there's just something missing on this song for me. I don't know what it was. For the first few seconds, this song kind of sounds like a folk song. And I like how there's harmony vocals on the chorus for this song. I think it's a chorus. That's what I would call it, a chorus. It's funny. I wrote in here, it kind of reminds me of the Eagles. And I'm pretty sure that this is the song that Don Henley and J.D. Souther, that they sung on. And Don Henley is of the Eagles, obviously. So it's funny that I said this song kind of reminded me of the Eagles. I like the strings at the end of this song. I'm assuming it was the violin. Yeah, but I really like that part. And I like how the song slows down, like it's ending just to rev back into, like, the quote-unquote chorus one final time. My favorite lyrics for this one: let the disappointments pass, let the laughter fill your glass, let your illusions last until they shatter. Whatever you might hope to find among the thoughts that crowd your mind, there won't be many that ever really matter. He does really good with, like, his rhyming schemes, too. At number five, I have Daddy's Tune. Brown just, he really just gets right into his songs vocally. There's really little to no instrumental buildups in all of them. I don't know why, but I could hear Christine McVie of Fleetwood Mac singing this song really well. It definitely has, like, the tone of some of her slower songs. Either that or the title of this song just reminds me of her song, Oh Daddy. I really like the tone change that goes into, like, the third verse of the song. And I call them verses, but I don't really know what to call them. Stanzas? Paragraphs? And then, you know, he throws in some jazz instruments, making it almost sound like it's a song from a Disney movie. Really good guitar riff at the end of the song. It definitely goes on for a while. And my favorite lyrics were, "But Daddy, I want to let you know somehow. The things you said are so much clearer now. And I would turn the pages back, but time will not allow." At number four, I have Your Bright Baby Blues. This song has such, like, a Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska feel from the first line of the song. Quite frankly, the first verse almost sounds like it's just a demo, and it's all just, like, acoustic guitar, piano, and simple drums. I think that Brown has a above-average-slash-good vocal. It's not powerful, but I think it's smooth, and it really mixes well with his songs. And maybe it's just, like, my record player, but the guitar solo at the two-thirds mark on this song was so pronounced, and it felt like it was being plucked just, like, right out of the speakers. I like this song. It has a good tone, and it really has time to breathe. Nothing was rushed, as the song is, you know, I think it's about 6 minutes long. Really good ending with the guitar solo, and my favorite lyrics for this one: "No matter how fast I run, I can never seem to get away from me. No matter where I am, I can't help thinking I'm just a day away from where I want to be." At number three, I have Here Comes Those Tears Again. I like how the song starts with just, like, the vocals and the piano, with the vocals being, like, just a bit louder. The tempo increasing on this song threw me off a little. I really thought that this was going to be, like, a slower song. Brown is definitely a strong lyricist, but again, there's something about, like, his lyrics that's just missing for me. I could definitely hear this song being the last song on an album. It's at least the last song on side one, but I could see it concluding an album, or hear it concluding an album. Really good use of background vocalists for this song. The female vocals, I think they really complemented Brown very well. A nice instrumental or tone switch around the quote-unquote bridge of the song. And I use quotes around bridge because I don't really know if it's a bridge when a song doesn't really have verses and choruses. Song ended a bit too suddenly for me. I wished it was a bit longer, like the first couple songs. My favorite lyrics for this one: "Here come those tears again, just when I was getting over you, just when I was going to make it through another night without missing you." At number two, I have The Pretender. I have very, very high expectations for this song, since it's the conclusion, since it's the ending song. I'm very picky about my ending songs on albums, and quite frankly, I do an award for the best ending song of my season finale, and I want a good ending song. I like how this song just seems to be building up to something. Each verse is getting a little bit louder and a little bit more complex. Still, though, this song has very simple instrumentals, but it really didn't need any flashy riffs to pull me in. This song just seems like a very good summary of the entire album. There's great lyrics, there's good instrumentals, and there's good harmonies. I really like how the title of the song isn't said until, like, the very end of the song. And overall, a really good ending to the album. Especially, I like the piano riff and the strings. And my favorite lyrics for this one: "I'm going to find myself a girl who can show me what laughter means, and we'll fill in the missing colors in each other's paint-by-number dreams." And at number one, my favorite song on the album is The Fuse. This song had a very nice opening, and I really liked how slow it just started with the piano. Brown has a voice that he would sing songs with really good lyrics well, such as this entire album, essentially. I liked the whining of the guitar. I didn't really know. I'm not very musically sound, so I don't know what else to call it other than whining. In between the first and second verses of this song, he kind of reminds me of Bruce with just how the songs are composed, but the vocals and the instrumentals do not sound similar. Interestingly enough, I'm pretty sure John Landau was a producer for Bruce Springsteen at some point. I like the changes of pace in this song. There's parts when it's just really slow, and then it's parts where it really picks up, it does a really good job of going back and forth between those. This song had a really good instrumental riff. It's definitely more music that counts as opposed to wow factor. Overall, good one. Very strong ending with the improv vocals and the upbeat tempo. And I really like how this song ends with a piano riff and some guitar. My favorite lyrics for this one. Whatever it is you might think you have nothing to lose. Through every dead and living thing, time runs like a fuse, and the fuse is burning, and the earth is turning. So that is the song rankings that I have. I'll move into my album score now. So, starting off, first three categories in my album score is I give it a score out of 10 based off of its lyrics, its vocals, and the instrumentals. So, lyrically, I gave this one a 9 out of 10, pointing to Here Comes Those Tears Again, The Only Child, and The Pretender. Vocally, I gave this one a 7 out of 10, pointing to Your Bright Baby Blues, Sleeps Dark and Silent Gate, and The Pretender. And instrumentally, I gave it a 7 out of 10, pointing to The Fuse, Linda Paloma, and Daddy's Tune. So those three categories will get multiplied by 2 when we go into my total score. I then give it a score out of 10 based off of its U.S. chart position and its U.K. chart position. So in the U.S., it peaked at 5, so it got 8 points. In the U.K., it peaked at number 26, so it got 4 points. And then I give it a score out of 10 based off of where its singles charted. It only had a number 23 hit, so that is unfortunately only 1 point for that one. And then lastly, I give it a score off of its cover. So this one I gave an 8.5 out of 10 based off of its cover. It's a pretty cool picture of Jackson Browne just kind of chilling. So then I've added all up. The total score for this one is a 67.5 out of 100. Not too shabby. It's not the best, but it's not the worst of season 6 so far. I want to thank you guys all so much for tuning into this week's episode of Dorney's Vinyl. This was a fun wildcard album to do. The rest of the way, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 studio albums and 1 soundtrack album left in this season, amongst other EPs. Next week's podcast is going to be a game of before and afters, guest starring my wife. You'll have to tune in if you have no idea what I'm talking about and listen to that one for that fun game. We'll see how she does. And that's next week. If you're not already, go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl, where you're nearing the end of voting for season 7. So make sure that you're following me now so that way you can listen in, or that way you can vote in. If you're interested in expanding your record collection, I have used 33s and 45s for sale on my eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl, DorneysVinyl, no spaces, no capitalization, no punctuation. That's all I got. I'll talk to you guys all next week.